But man, I'm excited about this because I think that we all, maybe you don't. Probably if you don't struggle with this, you probably went to another session. But I'm like, oh, I got this. I'm going somewhere else. But I think there's times in our lives where we struggle with prayer. We struggle. We struggle with prayer. Sometimes maybe the formality of prayer, I'm going to, hang on, maybe I left it up here. The formality of prayer, I did. The formality of prayer, or sometimes we struggle in knowing what to say. Sometimes we struggle in knowing exactly what is prayer? And sometimes it's a very hard discipline, because we call it that. It's a hard discipline for us. And I really want to talk to you because the Lord has really helped me so much about rethinking how I think about prayer. Really changing my mind and restructuring my mind on how I think about prayer. I'm probably going to take a lot of swallows of water up here. Speaking twice back to back, and I really hollered way too much in the last session. I'm sorry. I get really excited and fired up about that kind of stuff. It was priceless if y'all could have seen Harold's face when I said Spanx. He looked at Debbie like, what is she talking about? And where is she going? And have we completely shot prayer advance right here all in one moment? I think one of the things that is such a struggle for us sometimes is that we don't see prayer as a conversation. We've compartmentalized prayer. And let me explain what I mean by that. I was raised in a Christian home. I had the blessing of having a believing mother and father who loved the Lord. Thank you. You're so sweet. Thank you very much. Cold one. Well, we thank you all. And talking about how that we have, we've compartmentalized prayer to a point where it's like, okay, I go and I sit down, and growing up as a Christian in a Christian atmosphere and home, a Christian school, Christian college. Okay. So people have been talking about prayer since my earliest memories. Okay. But what does prayer look like? And I don't know, you don't have to answer this out loud, but I wonder if anybody has ever sat down and taught you how to pray. And so sometimes prayer is one of those things we just think people are going to get. Okay, so kind of how I received it, and I'll tell you my experience. Yours may be very different than mine, but my experience was, okay, this is kind of what it looks like. You go and you sit down and you get your Bible. And you read your Bible. You need to at least try to read a chapter a day, because anything less is somewhat heathenistic. And if you can read your Bible through in a whole year, Jesus likes you more. And then now you close your Bible, and now it's time to pray. And so now I pull out a list, because they talked all about a prayer list. Okay, and so since they talked about it all the time, I was assuming I needed one. Okay, and so my prayer list, I pull it out, and maybe I've got missionaries and sick people, and I've got, maybe people in the military and people at my church, and okay, I got this stuff. Okay, so I close my Bible, and now I pray. Okay, dear Jesus, there's a lot of people's names on this list. And Betty Lou, she was my Sunday school teacher, and be with her because I like her, and help her. And then Lord, there's all these missionaries, and there's people everywhere. Wherever people are, telling people about Jesus, Lord, you just help them.
High school. And I got this test, and I didn't study, but if you could help me get an A on it, that would really be nice. Amen. And then as I grew older, that prayer list became a little bit more sophisticated, to where it became more serious, but it really became, I was very much about my list. Now, maybe this is not you at all, okay? But for me, it was very much about this list that I had kept, that I had, and people's names on this list. And then if I couldn't forget, then I forgot to pray for her. And I was constantly saying this to people, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. But I never even wrote their names down on my list. And if you didn't make it to my list, you did not get prayed for. I mean, that's just it. And most people on my list didn't get prayed for because I always started at the same place every time. And I could only get so far. So some people got prayed for specifically, and then other got people prayed for in a very general sort of sense. And then my mamaw got cancer. And she was my list. I was 15. And I'd never had a mamaw or a papaw or anyone, grandparent. I never had anybody close to me die. And so I was 15 years old, and my mamaw, me and her were like this. And she got sick. She found out she had cancer on one day, and we buried her 2 weeks later. And 15 years old. So for 14 days or 13 days, my prayer list was my mamaw. God, heal my mamaw. God, heal my mamaw. Come on, Lord, please don't let my mamaw die of cancer. Please don't. You know, and then for the next few months, it was my mama, because my mama was about to have a nervous breakdown over losing her mama. Be with my mama. Lord, please don't help mama. I don't know what's going on with mama, but Lord, please help mama, because she's making it hard to live here. And God, you know, okay, you know what I'm saying. And then, and as I got older, my prayer life really, I mean, it somewhat stayed there, and it became about very much about whatever was the big need at the moment. And if there was no big need at the moment, it was like, okay. And then, oh, yeah, Lord, I did that thing. And then I'd hear somebody preach. ABC's a prayer. Okay, so I'd try. I'm going to do the ABC's a prayer. And then somebody would say, well, Jesus prayed the model prayer. Pray the model prayer. So then I'd start off, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done. It is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses against us. Lead us not to temptation. Deliver us from evil. And find thee in glory forever and ever. And help my brother not to be so mad at me. Amen. And then I grew in the Lord, but prayer was still either mechanical or awkward. Same words, same phrases, same statements, same stuff. And it was very, it felt very powerless. I honestly did it because, I mean, there were times that I felt like God heard me and that God and I had a conversation, but those times were few and far between. Most of the time, it was just like, okay, I'm supposed to do this. But I don't get it, but I'm supposed to do it. So I'm doing it. And my Bible reading was somewhat similar. I was reading it because I was supposed to read it. But the stories I knew, I breezed through, and the places I didn't know, you know, I might slow down just a little bit, but I was trying, you know, my goal was, I need to hurry up and get this done because I want Jesus to be proud of me that I read so much. So it didn't matter what I got out of it, I just needed to read a lot of it. And they taught us speed reading in 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, and so I could, whew. But I had no idea what I took in. And then I had some people come into my life and really began to pour in my life what it looked like to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I started understanding that this was a relationship with him, then all of a sudden it redefined everything else because, I mean, I don't, if I have a, tell me your name. Lisa. Okay, I should be able to remember that because Lisa works for me, so I can remember that. Okay, so If Lisa and I are buddies and we have a relationship with you and you're my friend, I don't come up to you and be, hi, Lisa. I have a list of things I really want to talk to you about today. I did this and I did that and I saw that and I saw this person and I saw this and I got this. Boy, this and that. Okay, bye, Lisa. That's not a conversation. That's like weird. Okay, Lisa would be like, okay, she's the weirdest friend I have. Okay, because that's not a conversation. A conversation, if Lisa and I have a conversation, it kind of looks like this. So play along a little bit. Lisa, how you doing today? Cool. I really like that shirt. That's kind of sparkly. Do you like sparkly stuff? Oh, cool. I like sparkly stuff, but it never looks good on me. It always sparkles a little too much. Do you know what I'm saying? But I do like sparkly stuff. So where are you from, Lisa?
Maryland.
You're from Maryland. Oh, cool. Where at?
Close to Washington,
D.C. Oh, yeah. Yeah, close to Washington. I've been there before. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Cool. Traffic, is it bad where you live? Okay, you're in the country. Oh, cool. So close to Washington, but in the country. That's what else. Okay, this is a conversation. Now, so far, I'm asking her a lot of questions. But if we got to know each other more, guess what? There would just be this give and take, this give and take, this give and take. That's a conversation. So when I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we are in a relationship together. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You with me? So this is a relationship. This is not a really awkward, it's not me walking up and placing an order at Burger King. And that's kind of what my list had become. All right, Jesus, I'll take, and leave off the thanks, keep the change. And that's not a relationship. And so I really began to understand, and God began to open up my eyes to the concept of a relationship, not a ritual thing that I did. Because here's the deal. God does not love you. He did not die for you. And he is not more in love with you when you read your Bible through in a year than he is if you don't. Are you with me? Because we are not working our way to heaven, right? Okay, right? For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should. I read my Bible through in 90 days, twice. Lest any man should boast. So God's love for us is unconditional. And that means it's not based on performance. He loves us the same. Do you understand that he loves you just as much as he loves the prostitute who is sleeping it off right now? Some of you are going, no, really. No, he does. He loves her just as much as he loves you. He does not love you more because you're at a prayer advance. Because his love is unconditional. And so when it dawned on me that I am not performing on a stage to impress Jesus and getting brownie points, but this is a relationship that he wants to have with me that's real and intimate and personal, and he wants to know me, and he does know me, but all of this is about me getting to know him and drawing closer to him in this relationship, this friendship. All of a sudden it was like, duh. And it changed how I read what he wrote to me, and it changed my conversation with him from very much of a our Father, which are, now there's nothing wrong with the model prayer. Jesus gave it to his disciples to give them a guide on how to pray. But have you ever caught yourself just saying the same words over and over and over again, and you really don't even think about it because you've said those words so often and you're actually praying? And I'll tell you, I wonder if it doesn't feel this way. Have you ever passed somebody at the hall, let's say church, work, whatever, and you walk up to them and you start talking to them and you know they're not listening to you at all? You ever had one of those moments? You know they're not listening. Now sometimes, I do this sometimes, and I don't mean to. I got my mind on something, I'm hustling towards something, and somebody's telling me something, and I'm getting adult onset ADD, and I'm having trouble focusing a little bit. And so I'm like, I think somebody's just saying something to me. You know, so if I've done that to you, I'm sorry. But if you've ever tried to have a conversation with somebody that you know is not listening to you, really, then what you're really doing is you're just like, it's like Snoopy's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. And the fact that we can enter the throne room of God is such an amazing thing. Do you understand that in the Old Testament, they had the Old Testament tabernacle, and the Old Testament temple that was set up, and even Herod's temple in the time of Jesus. If you understood the way it was structured, you had the altar, the brazen altar where you made where the sacrifices were made. And then you would move through that into the holy place, and in that would be the table of showbread, and there would be the candlesticks, and then there was the Holy of Holies. This is where the Ark of the Covenant sat, and where the very presence of God dwelt. And the only time anyone ever went behind that veil was one time a year on Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement. And the priest would wash their they would wash their bodies, they would put on a fresh linen clothes. And as time moved forward, tradition tells us that they would even tie a rope around the priest's legs in case he went into the Holy of Holies with unconfessed sin and he died there, that if the bell quit dinging in there, they could pull him out because they couldn't have entered it without dying themselves. It was that sacred of a moment to go behind the veil one time a year in the presence of God. But on the day that Jesus hung on the cross, something happened. He cried out from the cross, "It is finished." And when he did, the Bible tells us that the veil of the temple, now the veil would have stood between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. The veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. Don't you know there were a lot of panicking priests trying to figure out, nobody look, what to do in that moment? And you know why? Because no longer was a sacrifice required, an intercession from an earthly priest, but now Jesus says that we were high priest. And because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we can enter that Holy of Holies, and that is prayer. Do you realize that right outside the Holy of Holies stood a golden altar? And this golden altar, they would pour incense on. And the incense, the flame, the coals would be burning. The incense would hit that, and the smoke would rise from that, and a beautiful smell would come, and it would enter and make a cloud in the Holy of Holies. They did this even on the Day of Atonement so that the priest could enter the Holy of Holies, And he could be in the presence of God and not die. Okay, it was that sacred of a moment. And you and I get to do it every day. Anytime. All the time. We have access to Jesus Christ. We have access to the Heavenly Father. We have access through prayer. And what was once, one time a year, only the high priest, only for the Day of Atonement, the rest of the time, no. Now, veil is rent. Jesus has made the way. You and I have the opportunity to walk in and to have a conversation with Jesus anytime we want to. Anytime. So this is a relationship. This is not a formal contract. You do not have to use formal words unless you constantly talk. Thou Almighty God in the heavens of the above. If that's the way you talk, feel free to keep talking that way. But if that's not your normal conversation, you don't have to change your normal conversation to talk to Jesus. He already knows what you sound like all the time. So it's a matter of talking to him. But here's where I think, this is what changed for me. And this is where I want to help you. What really helped me say, okay, well, Reba, how did you go from that to that? Because that was a big leap for me. From over here with my list, ordering from Burger King, from the Lord, to a conversation. And I'll tell you how I was shown and what really transformed my life once I understood relationship. It starts in my morning time. And now some of you, because of the busyness of your life, you don't have 30 minutes in the morning. Or whatever. You don't have that. Okay? That doesn't work. You have to find your times at other times. Okay? But I believe there ought to be a time in the morning. Either if you don't sit in a chair and physically have those moments, there ought to be a time in the morning when you get with Jesus. You just get with him. And so, let's talk about it in different perspectives. Let's talk about it for those of you who have time in the morning to get with the Lord. Okay? So in the morning, I get up.
And maybe I go make my cup of coffee. Okay, if you're a coffee drinker in the morning, I am not. So I got this little vitamin drink I drink. So I go do that. I go and I got my place and I go get in my chair. And my mind, even in the morning, my mind is everywhere. It's just like. And so I'll usually put on some praise music. And I just quiet. And I'm just maybe just a song, man. Now I'm just starting to sing. And I get my mind focused. Just a few minutes. And then my conversation starts. Morning, Lord. Thank you for giving me a good night's rest. Thank you for allowing me to get up this morning. Now, Lord, I want to just jump in your word here this morning. And I just want you to speak to me, Lord. I need you today. I need your help today. I don't even know what's coming today. But I know this, God. You've promised me that your mercies would be new every morning. You promised me that you were faithful to meet with me every morning. You promised that if I sought you, I would find you if I sought you with my whole heart. So this morning, that's what I'm doing, Lord. I'm here. And I'm just, this is Reba, Lord, reporting for duty. Now the conversation doesn't start. It doesn't stop right there. Now I open my Bible and I've got a plan of what I'm reading. Okay? Now, hey, for some of you, you got time to read a chapter. Some of you, you got 10 more minutes. And you better hurry up because if Bubba wakes up 5 minutes early, it's on. Okay? If anything, you know, it could be interrupted quickly. Okay, I understand that. Make this work for you. Seasons of life will change when you have a longer time and shorter times, but get there. So you know what I do? I got my time. And so now I open up my Bible. And so now I got my Bible open. And man, I'm reading here. And all right, Lord, man, put on. I want to be able, Lord, I'm reading this thing in Ephesians, Lord, about how that Paul's telling them to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Lord, I really want to be able to do that. Lord, you know I struggle in some areas. Lord, I'm struggling in this area. You know I am. And I think the devil's really got me defeated here, Lord. And I don't want to be defeated there. So God, would you help me stand in this area? Man, I'm putting on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil and with stand with your guard. Oh, Lord, truth. Oh, Lord, I need to tell myself the truth. I need for you to help me in this area. Do you see what's happening? I'm having a conversation. You say, well, he's not talking back. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and me. And man, I can be right in the middle of it. And I'll be like, you know, man, I think I got that area. And I can hear the Holy Spirit, no, you don't. And so, you know, I'm like, whoa, what do you mean I don't? How don't I? Don't ask that question unless you want to know. Lord, show me. I want to, okay. Lord, I confess that. I'm sorry. You know what? Your kids might just got up and they went, one of them went racing around the corner at that moment. Another one's chasing behind him with Kool-Aid. Do you know what? Have you got with Jesus? You have. And you know, sometimes it's that very moment. I'm like, oh, Lord, I got to dwell here some more. Right now, I got to chase the Kool-Aid guys. So, Father, help me. Lord, you know I got to hustle. Because Kool-Aid's going to be on my carpet, Jesus. Please help me today. It's looking bad already. It's a conversation that I'm having with Jesus. And it doesn't stop. Lord, help me to have the patience. I don't want to kill him, Lord. I told him to stay out of the refrigerator. I told him he can't pour his own drink. He's not that big yet. God, help me today. And you know what? That conversation just keeps on moving. I get in the shower. This is where I do it. Because it just makes sense for me. Lord, I want to put on the helmet of salvation today.
Lord, I want to be girded. Lord, I want to be girded with truth today. And Lord, I want to put on the breastplate of righteousness, Lord. And I want my feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, Lord. You say, well, I don't take a shower every day. Well, start. Because you may be armed in ways you didn't realize. And I'm just having this conversation with Jesus that keeps on going. And now, you say, well, man, Reba, you didn't even get hardly through a verse. You got on truth and you got stuck chasing Kool-Aid. Uh-huh. Well, we're not done. Because then there's those moments when I sit down at lunch with my ham sandwich. Lord, I want to thank you for my ham sandwich. Thank you that I got 10 minutes of quiet. Lord, I haven't forgotten about that truth you reminded me about this morning. Lord, I need to walk in that. Lord, if I don't let me tell myself lies today. Lord, if you, Holy Spirit, remind me if you catch me in the middle of that now. I don't want to do that. Conversation keeps going. Phone rings. Text goes off. Oh, my word. I cannot believe we're doing this again. Jesus. Fingers have not touched keys. Jesus. You know this is driving me insane. Nothing sends me off my rocker more than this kind of junk right here. And I keep getting this same text from this person. Lord, I don't know what to say to her anymore. I don't know what to say to him. I don't know what to do about this, Lord. I'm tired of being frustrated by it. I really don't know what to do right now, Lord. I need your wisdom. What do I do right now about this? Hands off the keyboard. Phone rings. Hey. Are you kidding? Oh, my word. Well, we said that was going to happen, didn't we? Holy Spirit, what are you doing? You know what? We need to stop. We need to pray for her right now. That's what we need to do. We need to quit. If we're not careful, me and you are going to be in trouble because we're going to start running her down. And it's going to turn into gossip right here. And that's not what we want to do. We really need to pray for her now. I tell you what, I'll start, you close. Freak the person out on the other side of the line. Just start praying. Jesus, you know our sister Susie, Lord. Oh, forgive us, Lord. We were about to run her down. And Lord, forgive us, our hearts weren't right there. But Lord, you know she's struggling right now. And it just seems like she's making poor decisions right now. And Father, we just want to ask you to be with her today and encourage her. Help us to love her, Lord. Help us to be able to intervene in her life in the way we need to, Lord. Lord, guide our hearts and minds. Don't let it, Lord, it could be us. Conversation. And it permeates itself in everything you do. So instead of being compartmentalized, Jesus, I'll see you at lunch. Ooh, ooh, huh. Thank Jesus for the food. Amen. And bless missionaries. Zoom. And we sprint. And it's never personal. And sometimes God's speaking to us, and it's like, I just don't have time for that right now. I just don't have time for it right now. I got stuff, Lord. And see, we think we have to stop in order to do the stuff. Sometimes you're about to lose it with your kids. Stop losing it with them and start praying while you're helping them. So you don't have to pray it out loud. Right here. As you walk to that room, as you walk into that mess, as you hear those comments fly, as you're addressing that situation, Lord, you know I want to be a good mom. And I need your wisdom to know how to handle this right now. I know what I want to do. But I may not know what I need to do. I know what I want to say right now, but I don't know what needs to be said. Lord, would you show me my child's heart? Lord, would you let me win my child's heart right now in this? That 30-second pause will not hurt you. It can only help you. And we just begin to have this conversation with the Lord in His Word. So as I'm reading the Bible, I'm having a conversation back with Him about what I'm reading. You know what it helps me do? It helps me stay engaged in the Word, what I'm reading. Because have you ever been reading and you're like, I have no idea what I just read. And you're like, okay, we got to start all over. Okay, have any of you, I'm just going to go ahead and get my hand up. Have any of you ever done it twice and still the second time through, you still had no idea what you just read? And I'll tell you, the devil wants that in our lives because he wants us to not, he doesn't want us to slow it down. And we have been taught speed it up. The more you do, the more Jesus loves you. And that's just not true. If you get a verse, one verse a day that you can hang on to, like the anchor for your soul, and you meditate it and pray about it all day long, you're going to be a changed woman. Now, if you can do more, do more. You know, don't say, well, I'll spend 5 minutes with Jesus and 4 hours on Facebook. But I know some of you, you get so defeated because you don't think you have an hour that you don't spend anything at all. And so it's a struggle. And we've got big things we're praying for and big things we're asking Jesus for. And sometimes God, he uses prayer to move our hearts. Have you ever started praying one way and then thank God he didn't answer for that later the way you prayed it? Oh, man. You got some of you guys are in high school right up here. Aren't you guys, some of you guys in high school? Yeah, man, I can't tell you how many guys I prayed for in high school that I thank God he didn't answer that prayer. I'm like, oh, Jesus, he just looked at me, you know, and then he looked at me and I went, oh, Jesus, no, no, thank you, Jesus, for not answering that one. But I'll tell you guys that are sitting here in the front row that I don't know how old you are, but I figured in high school somewhere, I wished I knew this when I was your age, because I so desperately needed to be able to have a conversation with somebody that I just genuinely understood my heart. And there were many times I felt like nobody understood my heart. But God understood my heart, and I was deceived in not understanding that he did. Man, I could just go pour it out on him, and he totally gets it. Totally gets it. And then I'm trying to figure out, okay, God, how do I walk this walk, and how do I do this thing? And he's showing us, slowly but surely. He's teaching us. And what happens is, my heart becomes like his heart through prayer. And I begin to pray what he wants me to pray. And he begins to guide my words. And all of a sudden now, I understand things I didn't understand before. And I have power I didn't have before. And I'm fighting an enemy that I didn't even realize. And he's helping me to stand. And suddenly now my prayers are not, and Lord, if you could do da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Instead, I'm really happy. Lord, me and you know. And God, you remember we've been talking about him. And it really sounds like you're talking to a friend and not like a stranger that you're placing an order to at Burger King. And it changes your life. Changes your life. We got about, Lisa, what, we got 3 minutes, maybe? We got 5 minutes. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Listen, questions. Sometimes I like to take 5 minutes to do this. Any questions about prayer? Now, and I'm sure, I know some of you guys are smarter about this than I am, so I know you could raise your hand and you could tell us something about prayer, and I so appreciate that. Please tell your group all the way home. But for now, can you just, for the ladies who may have some questions about prayer, maybe questions about something I said, anything at all that might help you in your growth. Absolutely, yeah. Teaching your kids this. Is it possible to teach your kids how to pray? And I really think you said this. It's modeling it by praying it with them, for them, and in front of them. And it's praying at the same time. Okay, you know, here comes Susie. She's bawling her eyes out. And, you know, it's a bad day at school. And what happened? And you're listening to the story. Let's talk to God about it. Pray.
Pray about it right there, about her thing and her need, and let her pray. Do you want to pray about it? Now, as they get older, they'll be more adept at doing this, but even five-year-olds can pray some pretty powerful prayers. You know, I got hurt. My feelings got hurt at school. Baby, I am so sorry. You know, but we're gonna have to forgive. Let's just ask Jesus to help us not to be mad at that girl tomorrow, okay? And we're just modeling it, and we're helping them do it. You know, and all of a sudden they're figuring out it's conversation. I'm riding to school, okay? It's car time. All right, so what we got today? Well, I got a quiz. Okay, cool. Well, anybody else got a quiz today? Yeah, I got this thing. Yeah, I don't like English. Okay. All right, well, hey, we're almost through school. Let me pray for you. God, you know Billy doesn't like English. It's going to be important for him because it's the official language that we use, Lord. So, God, can you help Billy figure it out? Because it'll be a big deal for him. And Lord, Sally's got a quiz today, and Lord, I hope she studied. But Lord, I pray that you bring to remembrance the things that she memorized, and help her in that quiz. Help my kids to be lights for you today at school. Help them to be salt today. Help them to stand strong today. Help my kids today, Lord, to reflect you today. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great day. Yeah, all right, Mom. It's a conversation with Jesus. And then, you know what? Their conversation ends up being like yours. Great question, though. I saw somebody else's hand up, but yes. Yes, very, very great. A lot of times, and I try to do this too, when somebody's asking a prayer for you, instead of just saying, I will pray for you, if you have a second, pray for them right there. And it doesn't have to be hour and a half prayers. But just, let's pray about it right now. And I'll tell you, pray about it then, you usually remember even to pray about it later. As the Holy Spirit brings people's names to your mind, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Any other question? Yes. You know, not always. I mean, obviously, now when I'm at home in my quiet time, I almost always do for two reasons. And I'll tell you why. I pray out loud sometimes because it helps me stay focused on my prayer. Because, again, I can be like, and Lord, I just pray that you would.
I should have dusted over there.
Oh, yes, Lord, sorry. Okay. And so praying out loud does help me, you know, in conversation. It helps me to stay more focused. So that does help me. But there's a lot of times, and sometimes when I'm really intense in my prayers, I don't necessarily always pray out loud. And especially there's times like, you know, I'm usually always praying on this front row right before I walk up. But, you know, so there's times and places. But when I'm at home and I'm in my time, I usually am praying out loud, yes. You know, because it really does help me as I verbalize that prayer out loud in that conversation. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I think two answers to that question. Number one, when you pray for something specific, okay, how do you know the right answer? Okay, one of the things is when I pray for something very specific, I'm always asking, now, Lord, this is what I'm praying for. If this is not what you want for me, show me what you want for me. Because I want your will over my will. That's part of the Lord's prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I want your will, Lord. So show me. I will be obedient if you'll show me what that looks like. And so I'm always, in essence, praying that. But then I'm very specific. Lord, I'm asking for these specific things. I stay with it until I have peace, one way or the other. Peace, this is the answer, or peace, I get to pick. And it comes. There's times, I truly believe, that the Lord lets you decide. Lord, which way should we go? And you've been praying for months and you get no answer. Or you feel like you've got no answer, nothing specific. Then you know what I do? I'm like, all right, Lord, I begged you. I don't think I've got a one answer from you. So I'm going to walk through this door. And Lord, if this is not right, stop me. And I, And I choose. And I walk through that door. And God blesses. There's times when I speak, I'm not sure what I'm going to speak about. Lord, if you got something specific you want me to speak about, show me. Sometimes he does. Sometimes I get nothing. So I pick what I'm going to speak about. And I'm like, Lord, if I'm speaking on the wrong thing, show me. I'll stop. I'll speak on something else. So knowing those things, I think many times I get to choose those things. And when I don't, I'm praying very specifically. I find the answers in God's word. I'm asking God, give me your word on this. Because I need something to anchor point to go back to. And I stay with it. And then watch God open the doors. Watch the Holy Spirit move. Start looking for God. Where's God in this? Where is he moving in this? And just watch him answer. Does that help? I know what you're wanting, and I don't know that I can give you exactly what you want, because I don't think there's a magical formula to it that if you always do A plus B, you always get C. Because I think sometimes in circumstances and situations, God moves differently. And then sometimes I don't think we have confidence in our own personal walk with God to make a choice. And sometimes God has given you the freedom to choose. Choose. Just choose. He'll shut the door. He knows our hearts. You know? And so having the confidence in that. But that's a hard one because, you know, sometimes it requires praying long. And sometimes it requires praying hard. And sometimes God's like, just pick, baby. Just pick. It's good. And so I know what you're saying. And I wrestle there at times as well. But I believe the sincerity of our heart, God knows he is not out to trick us. And he doesn't pick his wheel up about the time we get 4 feet from it and run and hide it somewhere else and go, try again. That's not the way God works. He desires for us to find his will. Yes. Pray with or pray for?
Either one.
Either one. Well, obviously you can pray for that kid all the time. They don't have to be around. Okay? And if they're rolling their eyes, they obviously need a little bit of prayer. So praying for them. But you know, when the kids are rolling their eyes, that's what teenagers do. They got muscles that just roll. And I ignore that kind of stuff. I mean, if they're being disrespectful, that's different. But you know what? We're praying here. But you know, obviously, we're not praying 4 hours. I'm going to pray until you stop rolling your eyes. You know, no. But those quality minutes of prayer, steady. They're listening more than you think they are. Good question. Yes. Yes, I do. Good question. Do I ever use a list? I do. I'll tell you what I've done with mine to make it so I'm praying it. I divided my list up over the days of the week. So I have certain people I pray for every Monday. Certain people every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, every Friday, and it's divided out across. Now, there are certain things I pray for every day. But there are certain people, because there's just, I don't have 6 hours. And my list is always growing. And so as God puts those things on my heart, and I actually pray about my list. Lord, is this something you want me to stick on here? And am I to intervene? My prayer list is intercessory prayer for people. I am going to war with you over this. And I can't go to war with everybody. But there's times that I may just be praying for somebody in a moment. There's times I say, Lord, every time you bring them to my mind, I'm going to pray for them. And I'll pray for them every time they come to my mind. And then there's times they get right on the list. So every Tuesday, I'm praying over that person's name. And so so I have a system that I'm working through that without just praying for four people. And that's as far as I ever get. I pray for the nations that way. I've got the world that I've divided up across those. So as I'm praying, I'm praying for certain parts of the world on certain days of the week. So that I'm praying, and I pray for the women in those places. Because I believe that's part of my intercessory prayer call, is to pray for those women in those places. And so I'm going through that. But I can promise you, I intercede for the Dominican Republic, and I intercede for Kathmandu, Nepal, and I intercede for some of those ministries because they're our partner ministries. God has put me in partnership with them, and so we've got a different relationship there. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I do use a list. Absolutely, I do. But it's still a conversation. You know, it is. Yes. Absolutely. She's saying, when you've been praying long and hard over certain same request over and over again, how do you stay passionate about that prayer? And I think there's going to be intense times of more intensity,
But I think we're just going back, and if they're lost, we're begging God for their soul. And some days that may be more intense than it is on another day. But it doesn't mean because you didn't weep and wail in sackcloth and ashes that God said, well, she didn't really care that day. I'm not going to, today they can't get saved today. You see what I'm saying? Because it's not up to you. It's not up to you. It's up to Jesus. And you've given those people to Jesus. And so now you're just interceding on their behalf to Jesus. And you're praying because he said, keep praying. And so because he said it, I keep doing it. And I'm being obedient in that. But I know it's not up to me. It's up to him. Does that make sense? So don't feel that weight. The weight's not yours to feel. Absolutely. Exactly. And God will lead you in those prayers. Even as you're in his word, sometimes things will leap off the page at you out of his word that really applies to that person. And then I don't care if they're on Wednesday and it's Tuesday. Pray for them. These are great questions about prayer. Anything else before we go? I don't want to stay any. If you need to slide out, you feel like you can. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Yeah, she's talking about people that maybe you've been praying for a long time and you've disconnected in that relationship and you're really not even sure where they're at anymore. And I think you ask God that question. I would. I'd say, Lord, do I need to keep interceding for this person? And if they never come to your mind, and you never really think about them that much, God will bring somebody else to intercede for them or bring them back. But if they keep coming to your mind, keep interceding for them. Keep interceding for them. And that may be a good guide. But I just ask the Lord, Lord, help me here. Yeah, because over time you can collect a book and you lose track of where these people are at. So yes, absolutely. Active prayer. All right, girls, this has been good. If you've got one more question, I'm going to take this one at 3, 5, 7, 12. Oh, all right. Hey, Joel, are we okay to keep answering these questions, buddy? Okay. Till you know. You don't move. I always say, if in doubt, stand still. And because if I don't know which way to, if God is leaving it up to me, but I have no idea which way to even choose at that moment, stand still. Now, some things are time pressing. You're going to have to make a call here. Okay, and if they're time pressing, Lord, you promised to give me wisdom. And all I know to do in my heart, I have searched you and asked you for the answer to this. You haven't circled anything that I've seen clearly. So, Lord, the decision has to be made today. I need your wisdom. And in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Have some girls praying with you about it, or as you move through, Lord, I believe this is the way we're going to go. And then move on. If there's no time sensitivity to it, then be still until you say, you know what? I'm leaning this way. Lord, I haven't been leaning, but now I'm leaning this way. And now all of a sudden, now let's move on that. And so it's okay. Some things we don't need to move on yet. And we put the pressure on ourselves to move when time is not a pressure. Or nobody's saying now. But some things, I mean, you got 15 minutes to make a decision. And you got to know. And if I don't know and I'm not sure, it happened to me yesterday afternoon. Brother Harold came up to me and said, hey, Reba, how would you like to speak tonight? I'd love to. What do you want to talk about? Give me a few minutes to pray. I went to prayer. I had a few minutes to tell him. Yes, no, here's what I'm talking about. And I'm like, Lord, this is what I'm leaning towards. Are you all right with that? All right, let's do it. Harold, I'll do it. This is what I'm talking about. Text came back. Great, I think that's what you ought to talk about. Empty vessels. And so you just, now just step out in confidence in that. And move forward. And trust my relationship. See, when we don't have a relationship, I don't have anything to trust. Because I never talk to him, and he never talks to me until I get in a panic. And then when I get in a panic, I have no idea if I'm making the right call or not. That relationship is what gives you that confidence to walk into those decisions. Yes. Yes. No. No, absolutely not. And I'll tell you why. I think we...
there's a movement that says, don't say it out loud, the devil hears it. Okay? He may be the prince of the power of the air, but he has not trumped my prayers. And so, I mean, I can talk out loud to God and pray my fears and my concerns and my worries. I don't have to pray those silently so the devil don't hear. Are you kidding? I'm talking to the king of the universe. All he has to do is speak, the devil's not. And so there's no fear of that in talking to God, that somehow the devil's going to overhear without my fear to God and somehow take it and use it against me. No, that there is no biblical soundproof for that whatsoever, but it is kind of a thing people have run with. All right, one more question and we're done. And then I'll answer the rest of them later. Anything else? Yes, ma'am, you're it. It's okay. Yes. Yeah. She's talking about sometimes when you're trying to pray, the devil even fights you there. Okay? And honestly, I do it in two ways. Now, this may not work for you, but music is a big part of my prayer life. And when I'm struggling like that, man, I get praise. And I'm just praising him. And I'll tell you, I have sat and wept before at that song we sang that Joel led us in, the God of Angel Armies. And you're a good, good father. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. And that's who I am. I mean, I have just anchored in those to get my heart fixed on God and on prayer. And I tell him, God, I just feel like the devil's sitting on my shoulder. I'm struggling talking to you right now. I'm struggling. Give me freedom here. Give me freedom here. And just be patient in that. And allow God to do that. Because you can be confident you're praying to your Heavenly Father. It's all good. It's all good. All right. Well, if you got more questions about prayer, see me later. Thanks for your patience. I hope this helps you have a conversation with Jesus.